The current system as it exists, do you feel you don't have any problems with the current system and that the current system as it exists doesn't present a problem to you at all?
No. I can survive in the current system and have with competition.
So you can survive, but it isn't free of problems?
I don't have any major problems. I don't have any major competition at this particular time. Mm-hmm. We have in the past.
So you in a sense, have a monopoly here in general, is that what you're saying?
That's correct. Lametco Lathrop, who was a Miami-based corporation, and Mr. Moyer now owns that corporation, had a theater called the Taku Twins. Mm-hmm. And they operated in Juneau for 10 years in competition to our one-screen theater. They had a twin theater. And we were able to negotiate our film and stay in business, barely. Finally, in 1980 or 81, I had to close the theater down because we were losing. But after they had sold out and left Juneau, I had talked to their senior vice president, Mr. Stanley Stern, and he told me out of the 10 years that they were in Juneau, they had been in the red for 9 and did not make any money until we had closed our theater down.
Okay. No, are you currently able to show any first-run films? I think I heard that you're not, that you have to wait till they're shown.
No, we're able to show first-run films.
You're currently able to show?
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that with the new system, or if this bill were to be passed, you wouldn't be able to show first-run films?
No, I would be able to show first-run movies. What we're saying is if a competitor came to town and if this bill is to be enacted, one or the other can call for a bid for that product. The company with the largest dollar volume or the bigger company is the one that's going to survive. The little guy can't bid. I suppose he might be able to bid, but he's going to have to force the price up to the consumer to try to survive.
But I just heard the gentleman who testified for the distributors that with the present system, they can pick and choose who shows their films regardless of whether they're the biggest bidder or not. Is that correct?
I understand. Somebody else could probably answer that better than I do.
Okay. And I guess what I'm looking at is, you know, what I'm listening to is a comment that has been stated over and over about the deep pocket. And I guess it isn't quite clear to me if presently the distributors can give the film to anybody that they want, regardless of whether they make the highest bid or not, right? So right now the distributor can choose who shows the films, right?
That's correct.
Okay. With the legislation, and I could be wrong, but on page 2 of I have the... Okay, I have the original, I guess it's the original Labor and Commerce Bill, and it says, and I'm looking on page 2 where it says, within 10 business days after the bids are open, the distributor shall advise each exhibitor who submitted a bid, the name of the highest bidder, and the name of the bidder who received the award of the exhibition rights. So that indicates to me that the distributor can still choose whether or not he gives it to the best bidder or not.
This has been revised.
Revised,
yes.
Okay.
Perhaps
Mr. Chairman?
Perhaps I can answer that question for you a little more specifically.
I'd appreciate that.
Yes, you'll find that on page 3, beginning at line 13, it says on violation, it says a person aggrieved by a violation of this chapter may bring a civil action.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen is that if it's not awarded to the highest bidder, it's awarded to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
The highest bidder is in the very positive position of being able to say that he was aggrieved because he had the best bid. And because of that reason, he can bring a lawsuit. So if the distributor awards the bid to anybody other than the highest bid or the best bid, he is exposing himself to liability. He runs a risk. Now, nothing may happen, but it's a risk. And you now put the distributor and the exhibitor who accepts the bid in a risk-taking position where none exists now.
Thank you, Mr. Garner. Kevin DeBar?
Yeah, I have a question. Mr. Barsky, from the distributors.
Mm-hmm.
From the distributors' perspective, I guess, in soliciting bids or soliciting bidders to show the films that you have in distribution, do you play favorites at the expense of your profit?
That's a very fair statement. Yeah, this is a business to make money, as all businesses are. And each of our companies, although we're gathered under the one tent of the Motion Picture Association, are very fierce competitors with each other. And there's no executive at any film company who would last very long if he was trying to pass pictures to somebody at less than the rate that they could get. The question that you have, though, is a long-range one, where if you create a situation where even for a brief period of time you're creating an artificial bidding environment and you're creating box office bonanzas for the motion picture company in terms of the film rental over a short period of time, to the effect that in a local market you're going to kill off an independent exhibitor or another chain exhibitor, so that where you had multiple competitors, there's now only one person operating in that market. For the short term, a distributor might do very well. For the long term, they're ultimately cutting their own throats, because in order for the business to survive, you need to have that kind of healthy competition existing. So you have to take both a short-term view as well as a long-term view.
My point is that when you give a film to or a film show to an exhibitor who is not the high bidder, and you're doing it in your best interest, you feel that because it wants to take it for the screen, the newness of the facility or the audience that you're showing to or something like that, those are factors at play in whether or not you're going to accept the high bid, which all you were looking for, I guess, was...
Well, answering the question is like trying to hit a moving target. The notion of what is a best bid, if you take a snapshot of the bids as submitted where somebody says, I'll give you $20,000 and somebody says, I'll give you $40,000, but then you look at it over the length of the run where because you picked the better venue, you in fact got more of the money by taking, although facially it seemed to be a less significant dollar bid, but because of the gross at the theater, it in fact became the best bid, but then you're playing with 20/20 hindsight down the road. And the problem is, in the course of getting all of that stuff assembled, you're going to breed the kind of questions and litigation that Mr. Gardner was referring to.
You're looking at bid package.
You're looking both at the bid at the time of licensing, but the judgment of, was that the best one? It's like saying, did you book a blockbuster? And the answer is, let's look at it after it's played.
At the time that you...
Mm-hmm.
Which may affect the next time you distribute a film to a particular market. However, at the time when you offer that film, you're looking for what's in your best interest, the best package, right?
Yeah. But the licks that you want to take are the licks of getting beat in the marketplace, not having to get beat in the marketplace and then having to come into court and try to defend your actions when hindsight showed you were wrong, but because it was an honest judgment. And that's the question that you have here.
Representative Collins?
Thank you. With the present system, the distributor, or who has the ultimate control of who shows what movies in Alaska, for example?
Well, these are copyrighted works, and the control of the copyright done by federal grant is given to the copyright holder, which is either the distributor or the producer.
So in the current system, then, the distributor has really all of the power, right? Has all the marbles?
No, not really. When you're in a market, let's say in the Fairbanks market, where Mr. Moyer owns all the theaters, when the member companies of the MPAA or the other 80 or so independent distributors want to book a theater in Fairbanks, they have to go through Mr. Moyer. If you want to go to Kodiak, you have to go through Mrs. Fletcher. There's one screen there, and there are nine of my companies who have maybe 120 to 140 pictures in any given year, plus another 200 other pictures, and all of them are trying to shoehorn into a particular area. So when you ask the question as to where the power is, yeah, the power to say, I will give you the picture, is in the hand of the distributor, but the power to say, I will play your picture, is in the hand of the exhibitor.
But that power is really only given by the distributor, really. I mean, if the distributor chooses not to use a particular person, I mean, could a distributor go into an area, say Ketchikan, where we just have one theater,
mm-hmm.
and maybe not have a good or feel that the person who currently has the theater in Ketchikan communicates with the distributor appropriately, that anybody could come in and the distributor could, with the present rules, just choose to give the film to show to anybody, right, regardless of if it was a high bid or not?
Well, if there's only one person there, the distributor is faced with a yes-no choice, and because the distributor ultimately wants to maximize his or her film rental, the distributor is going to try to get that picture played. Mm-hmm. If the theater owner in Ketchikan decides, I'm sorry, I think your terms are too high, I'm going to go to distributor B, then distributor A can huff and puff and say, but this is going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Mm-hmm.
And the exhibitor will say, Well, that may be, but I'm going to go talk to distributor B and C and D and E. And at that point, distributor A has a very hard choice to make. Mm-hmm. And
either
so,
play your game or not get the film, is that what you're saying?
Well, it's play the game of the exhibitor in that situation or not get your film played. That's what the issue is. In the market right now, the very hottest films are the ones that came out at the Academy Awards. And those the best picture of the year out of Africa is now playing in Mr. Morris Theater in Anchorage. I believe it's also playing in Southeast. For that distributor, that's a terrific position to be in. The distributors of the pictures that lost and are still in active distribution have a problem because in the Ketchikan situation, the folks who have that one theater are in the catbird seat. It's a symbiotic relationship. From time to time, if you have the best mousetrap, somebody's going to try to show it. But if the best mousetrap is seen in a particular market as the best theater, then all the distributors are going to be coming to try to get into the best theater. And so that's where the competition is. You've got competition at the distribution level with everybody trying to get into the best venue, and then you have all the people who own the theaters competing to be the best venue so that they can be the one that can try to call the shots.
Okay. I'm still trying to understand the system, so please excuse my questions. Right now, with the present system, if you give exhibitor A, so you have exhibitor A and B,
mm-hmm.
you currently, with the present system, in a sense, decide who gets the film, right? I mean, if both these people bid today, you can decide on who gets the film, right? I mean,
yeah.
they don't. They, okay.
Ultimately, you're going to decide which is the bid that works best for your company. Yes.
So you decide what works best for your company, not really what works best for the consumer, say, in Ketchikan or Anchorage, right?
Well, if you make too many decisions that violate the notion of what's best for the
consumer.
Well, I can't.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
well,
you try to incorporate it. I mean, the answer is yes, you try to do what's best for the consumer, because if you don't consider the consumer, you're going to be out of business. And the consumer is ultimately what makes or breaks a distributor or an exhibitor or any business person.
So it's up to that consumer to choose whether they want to sit in the theater of their choice, whether it's a nice theater that shows lousy films or a lousy theater that shows good films. You know, I'm just carrying to that extreme. But mm-hmm. With the current system, once a choice is made, say that you choose theater A for whatever reason you choose to distribute the film to, with the present system, does theater B have any comeback? Can they come back and say, hey, that was unfair? Or do they just kind of have to lump it?
If they feel there was a violation of law involved in the award of the picture, they can sue. If they feel that they should have gotten that picture because they're a better theater, mm-hmm. they can go out and demonstrate to you over time that they are in fact a better theater and that you made a business mistake by going with theater A and that you should have gone with theater B. I understand that since the letter that Paramount wrote that the Warner theaters are going on a campaign of improving their theaters, and I think that that's going to be very attractive both for the consumers there and also for distributors like Paramount.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that with the present system there is a potential for litigation, isn't there?
Sure. The idea is not to increase it.
Okay. And you think that then that's a correction from what I understood previously, that this would open up the floodgates to litigation where there is currently none. So right now...
No. I'm not sure I said that. What I think I said was that if there's a need for redress, the antitrust laws, either at the federal or the state level, may be perfectly adequate to handle it. You don't need yet another layer of regulation which would inspire yet additional litigation to deal with a problem that we don't think exists anyway.
Okay. If this legislation does not... I guess what I'm saying, and it's really hard for me to really understand the difference between the what is and the legislation is proposed. What is says the distributor can give the film to anybody they want to. If you don't like it, you can do something about it and try to get some type of redress. Is that correct?
Right. If you feel there was a violation of law, you can sue. If you feel that they made a silly marketplace decision, show them that they're wrong.
Okay. So then if this legislation were to pass, this legislation says, it's hard for me to know because I'm not sure really which version we're dealing with, but my understanding in looking at the original bill was that the distributor has the opportunity to consider a bid unacceptable, so that you, in a sense, you have and the distributor has a choice. If the new law were to pass, the distributor has a choice. He can say, "I'm going to take the highest bid. I'm going to none of the bids are acceptable." And is that the only choice he has? So I'm saying that the distributor is still making the choice, but the rules of making the choice have changed.
And so possibly to the detriment of their best business judgment. When you have a definition of unacceptable bid on page 4, definition 8, meaning a bid that's inferior to the lowest bid the distributor would accept for the same run of the same picture in an area having a population equal or greater than the population of the area for which the inferior bid was made, that means that you can't license Alaska safely and reject bids until you have licensed the entire United States so that you get all the population coordinates of every community in the United States set so you know what bid you took, at what terms, for all of those theaters and the populations that may be comparable to a theater in Alaska. And the problem that you have trying to do business is that that, you know, while in a platonic sense may create a sense of fairness, it does mean that you're not going to get around to licensing Alaska until you've either done an inordinately expensive computer study or until after you've already licensed the rest of the country, and by the time you get around to licensing Alaska, you're doing it at a time when the picture's either in video cassette release or at a time when people aren't interested in coming and they're playing even later than they do under some of the circumstances that exist now. So what I'm concerned about is that there are things that are being hung on the process here that make it almost impossible for someone to function without being at their peril. I mean, the business is risky enough as it is. You can have a Heaven's Gate, you can also have an ET, and you don't want to pick the wrong one.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
It's the intent of the Senate to bring this bill back before the Senate committee at the at our next regularly scheduled meeting, and we will adjourn the Senate portion. Mr. Chairman?
This bill will also be held over until we schedule
it. Mr. Stoops, this will allow you additional time to provide the testimony that you requested.